Check one, check two.
Good.
I forgot to do that before we...
Oh, yeah.
Nah, we're good. We're good.
Yeah, it looks good.
Yeah, man, we're back. We're back with another...
High and a low.
Yeah, low ends. Find anything since we last recorded?
That's a good question.
Spring is kind of... Well, it's hit and miss, depending on what you're looking for.
I did pick up something... I can't remember. Oh, I went back and got that bottle, that Bibb and... What is it? Not Bibb and Tucker. What is that? Corset and Whip?
Oh, yeah, yeah. From
Journeyman?
Yep, or there you go. Yeah, corsets, chains, corsets. Or something. Corsets and Whips. Chains. Or something. Weird name, but yeah. It's
great price, great whiskey. And Joel had a tip on it. And picked it up. We tasted it that night, and man, I was like, where can I get this?
Mm-hmm.
You're like, you better go tonight because they're going to be all out. They weren't.
Nope.
It was full. The shelf was full.
All to ourselves.
Pick that up. I picked something else up, too, when I was there. I can't think of it right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the only thing that I picked up was the new release from Dixon's 2XO.
Yeah.
The Kiowa blend.
Yep.
Which is... pretty nice, but other than that, I think that is a...
Give it a minute to open up, see what it becomes.
I
can't believe I can still find that tribute still on the shelf.
Yeah, I know.
In various places.
Mm-hmm. For now. Like,
that's a deal. I gotta go back and get that.
Yeah, one time only, man. That's the cool thing about it. So, yeah. Well, for my low end...
Yeah, what do you got?
Let's see here. I'm thinking. Now I'm kind of stumped. Is this it? Yeah, I got it. Okay. So we've been talking about this company for a while. We talked about how we loved our experience there in Kentucky. People are going to get tired of hearing of it. Probably from us. But we always refer to this company as the Tesla of rickhouses or distilleries. Another Bardstown Bourbon Company release.
Mm.
But it's not their stuff. They actually just bought out this company, and now they own them.
Mm.
So, I bring before you Green River Distillery, their high rye bourbon.
So, when kinda they cool bought bottom. Them out, when did they buy them out?
Ah, man.
Was that like in the last year or two?
Yeah, they came out with this product in 2023. I wasn't too familiar with them before Bardstown did buy them. But I hear that their stuff was so-so. And now with Bardstown buying them, I don't know how they do it. I don't know if they use their distillate or what have you.
Okay.
I just hear that once Bardstown got their hands into Green River... they got drastically better with their products.
And when did you buy this?
Probably when it first came out, and I just never
forgot couple years about ago? It.
Yeah, because what happened was they came out with this, and then it took me a while to get it. And I'm like, you know what? Let me get this Green River because I'm keep on getting these good reviews. It's probably going to be the next Buffalo Trace. You're not going to be able to find it. But so far, I think you can walk... into anywhere and get it.
In mostly. Milwaukee?
Yeah.
Even? Okay.
And then later, probably, because I think this came out early 2023, and then like spring going into summer, they came out with the Weeded Bourbon. Same proof. And now, a couple of months ago, they came out with the Rye as well.
All right.
That... They're all three pretty good. And then you could get single barrel picks of this. So far, Amon has only did one. And I have that as well. So it's a high proof.
He did one. It says something.
It's a high proof version of this, what we're having. So.
All right.
I'm going to pour it in the glass. It's like, I don't know, man. It's like Bardstown is taking over the world, so to speak.
Is that bottle shaped of a horseshoe?
Yeah. And then once I pour, I'll show you the bottom. So this is 90 proof, nothing.
Okay.
Nothing crazy. So in my mind, I'm thinking this is a competitor to Buffalo Trace. Like, you know, the standard Buffalo Trace. But yeah, as you can see, horseshoe in the bottom.
Yeah.
I love the bottle shape.
Yeah.
Can't get any better than that. And now I'm going to introduce you the specs. So, company, it's a straight bourbon. The company, Bardstown Bourbon Company, as I mentioned. The distillery is Green River Distilling Company. Proof 90, as I mentioned. And even though it's non-age stated, the company has said that it's aged more than 5 years.
No.
Mash bill is 70% corn, 21% winter rye, 9% malted, 2 and 6 row barley, whatever that means. Whatever that means.
It's type of barley.
Mm-hmm. Now, interesting facts, because I can't remember if most companies do this or I just don't pay attention, but so far, both Green River, they like to put their DSP numbers on here. So, DSP stands for Distilled Spirits Plant.
K110.
Yeah. So, DSP, it may be established to produce, bottle, rectify, process, or store beverage spirits. I guess the examples of those spirits that they do distilled is they include neutral spirits or alcohol, like vodka or grain spirits, whiskey, gin, brandy. Mm-hmm. Blended applejack, rum, tequila, cordials, and liqueurs. So that's what DSP means. And now with the Kentucky 10, this shows the historical names, numbers, and locations of Kentucky distillers. So right here when it says Kentucky 10, it's telling me here that Green River Distilling Company is one of the most historical landmarks on the Kentucky Bourbon Trail. Established in 1885, Green River holds the title of DSP KY10, meaning it's literally the 10th oldest registered distillery in the entire state of Kentucky. So
They gotta be distilling it there then.
Yeah, they must
Bardstown.
Be. Yeah, they might. Whoever Bardstown has working with them must be helping them. I don't know. I never had any of their products until I heard about Bardstown buying.
Yeah, I was looking on the back of this. It has a date of 1885. Was when it was founded.
Mm-hmm.
But as we learned, that distilleries have been, unregistered distilleries have been in Kentucky for a long time, longer than that.
Or some of these places, they operate out of an old distillery that then they just change the name and they like kind of resurrect it.
Right.
And yeah.
Or they finally get registered and their date is 1885, but they've been doing it for a lot longer.
So just some cool facts about Green River.
Yeah.
Like I said, I don't know how good their stuff was before Bardstown, but they obviously, I don't know how their consistency was of operating as a distillery. Like, I think you have to be somewhat relevant if you've been like the 10th oldest distillery around or something.
Yeah.
I don't know if they operated 24/7 or they had a down part and then resurrected again and then fell off again. Like, was it
mothballed for decades?
So, far from the nose, I can see how this can be a competitor to Buffalo Trace.
Got that floral aspect to, like Buffalo Trace has.
Get a little hint of vanilla corn. And caramel.
Must
corn.
Be that corn. Flowery corn.
I don't know what this barley was that I mentioned before. Never heard of it. Maybe I should have looked that up too.
Well, two row is used for brewing beer a lot.
Okay.
And there's four row and six row. I don't remember what it all means, but I remember Two Row.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you
home brewer. Used to, yeah. Used to brew it.
And you got to get back into that again.
Yeah.
Me and you.
Too lazy.
It is a lot of work.
Yeah. Takes a... To do it right, you got a whole day.
Oh, yeah, you know? Man. Yep.
I love the nose on this.
I figured
nothing that you would wrong like it. At all.
No.
Here.
And like I said, man, not only this product, but the rye is great. I had the rye bottle, and I bought it probably at the beginning of last month, and it's already gone.
I've never heard of this, never seen it. Well, which is funny because I probably have seen it, but I've never even thought.
Never paid attention.
Never paid attention.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can't go wrong with this.
Wow,
man.
This is impressive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For 90 proof, it's not a lot of heat. But you did say 5 years minimum, right?
Yeah. They said more than five.
More
so
than five.
I don't know what that means. That could be 2 months, three.
Yeah, that's nice.
Five and some change here. I don't know.
A little less heat than that benchmark. That benchmark wasn't that hot.
Yeah, that was 86.
But that was higher proof, wasn't it?
No, 86.
Oh, was it 86? Slightly sweet on the nose, but not sweet. Nice development. I had a couple of drops there. I'd like to check out that distillery.
Oh, yeah.
10th oldest. That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a... Said it was a landmark.
Yeah, distillery. Landmark. Yep. And I guess it was a part of the... it's part of the Bourbon Trail as well. Here's some more effects about Green River. Green River Street Bourbon is crafted on the historic Green River campus in Owensboro, Kentucky. Over its storied past, numerous brands have been made there, including Ezra Books, Mellow Corn,
yeah.
Medley Brothers, Old Medley, Five Brothers, and Kentucky Bow. According to Green River, they purchased the distillery in 2014 and began renovation. So that answers my question.
Okay.
Seems like it was resurrected, uh-huh. Even though it was still there. In 2016, the distillery laid down their first barrels, and acting master distiller Ron Call passed the torch to his son Jacob Call. In 2020, Green River Distilling Company returned to its original name, and in 2022 was purchased by Bardstown Bourbon Company, the company which traditionally had smaller distribution for its standard bourbon, and expanded to 25 states in 2023. So that's that. So I had a feeling that it could have been running 24/7 since 1885. Mm-hmm. I knew it had to have like some type of down period.
Mellow Corn goes way back, right?
Yeah. And so they see, that's the thing, it's like all these distilleries kind of intertwine with one another. Like Heaven Hill makes Mellow Corn now.
Yeah, right.
So and they all,
who makes Ezra Brooks? They don't make it still.
Lux Row?
Right, yeah. Right, okay.
Which I think they kind of source from Heaven Hill, so.
Okay.
Yeah. It seems like they all have, like, some type of marriage together. Everyone's kin.
Yeah.
Everyone's related.
Well, that's cool.
So I wonder when Heaven Hill took that whole ownership of, you know, Mellow Corn. Wonder when that happened. And I'm pretty sure someone has a Green River Mellow Corn bottle out there somewhere. Some vintage place.
I like the balance of the sweetness on this.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the nose.
And the more I sip it, the more the nose is just... I don't know.
It's in the nose. It's in the...
I'm getting more cherry.
First now. Contact of taste. But then it's not... It doesn't linger around. It just kind of disappears.
Yeah. Yeah.
Once the development happens. And
exactly.
Then disappears completely in the finish. Which is great because I like... Nice, dry, clean finish.
Yeah, that's your element. And the finish is, what would you say, medium-ish? It's not very long. Goes on for a little bit, but...
Yeah. This is, I can't find anything wrong with this. I'm telling you, this is great.
No,
I want this to be $27 a bottle.
It's not, but it's available. It's, I think I paid...
That's
35.
A good point. Okay.
35.
Yeah.
I mean, if you see Buffalo Trace, regular MSRP is 27 to 28, right? So
right.
Close to 30, so...
I think it's 20. When we were there, it said $27.
Yeah.
It was, that was their price.
When you find it. Or when it's on the shelf.
Well, it was full on the shelf at the time, but... That was Buffalo Trace's price in the store, $27.
But yeah.
Okay.
I'm not mad at spending $35
for this. $35?
And now they have have a lineup too. You have a weeded version, which I think is my favorite.
I'd like to try that, yeah.
And the rye is great, and they do the 95.5 mash bill. Everyone stole that from MGP. 95.5.
Nothing wrong with it. High corn mash.
No.
Nothing wrong with it at all.
Mm-mm. Not
this
at all.
Is great.
So, 35 bucks available.
Yeah.
It's your jam. Everything that you want in a bourbon.
Yes.
Is what you like.
Tastes
good. Yep. Available. Not... overpriced. Too bad it can't be the 27, but
right, if it was 27 that would go up 1 point.
Yeah, it may not be available on the shelf. I don't know. It probably still will be.
This is a tough one.
How would you compare? Wait, do you think this is comparable to standard Buffalo Trace?
Buffalo Trace has something to it. There's maybe a little more cherry going on with Buffalo Trace. Buffalo Trace seems to be that perfect balance of things. It doesn't have that. Maybe that's it. I don't know. Maybe their casks are just a little bit better.
But you can see this as a competitor, though.
Yeah. It doesn't... I mean, it's not anything like Knob Creek. Along those lines, you know. Mm-hmm. It's closer to Buffalo Trace than Knob Creek.
Oh, yeah.
$35, still a good deal.
Great.
Cool bottle.
Great deal.
Cool story. Mm-hmm. The distillery background is pretty neat. The fact that it was resurrected in 2014, that's kind of cool.
Which we kind of figured that out. When they said 1885, still the oldest, the 10th oldest.
Yeah.
I'm like, no way this place was in operating this whole entire time with us not knowing anything about it until Barstown bought it. And then when you read it,
It could have been operating until like the 80s.
Could have been.
Like early 80s, and then just went out. And just...
Then it seemed like it was bought in 2014, and then they started doing their own distillate in 2016, and...
I'm going to say 84.
Yeah, I'm right with you. 84. Depending on what mood I'm in.
If it was $27, though,
85. Depending on what mood I'm in, I could give this a nice 85 or 86 just because of the line that I had. Like, the wheated bourbon and the rye, the single barrel pick, all of it was fantastic. It's like, just can't go wrong with it.
Let me pour my high in.
And then, once again, seems like whatever Barstown has their hands in, I'm not mad at it.
Yeah, they were onto something.
For a company...
I mean, it's kind of strange that they would buy somebody, but... must be they saw something. They're like, we gotta buy them.
Yeah, they saw something. And I'm assuming that this is... Oh, wait,
just give it a minute. Give it a minute. Or is this...
No,
is
this the one? Yeah, no.
Oh, okay. No. All right. Yeah. Okay.
Dylan thinks I'm an amateur.
Man, you just... Oh, yeah. You're just mid-sentence. Oh, let me take a
Man, swig. That was a good high-end, Dill. Haven't even introduced it. No, this is still the Green River.
Okay.
Yeah, that should be
a little sip of this. This is
another place that we should consider going to. It'd be nice to ask them. Like, I really didn't look this up much as far as finding out. You know, their distillation. Like, is this their own stuff? Or is it Barstown? Since Barstown has their own distillate?
Yeah.
I have no idea. It doesn't say. I'm assuming this is Green River juice. I'm assuming.
Did you see any pictures of Green River's distillery?
No, I didn't look them. Well, the information that I looked, they had a building. The old building.
Was it a tiny little place?
No, I don't think so. Huh. I hear that it's a beautiful spot. Yeah, it doesn't show a picture. I didn't look up a picture.
Yeah, could be. It could be Bardstown.
Could be.
But if they bought them out 2 years ago and you bought it 2 years ago, chances are it's Green River.
Yeah, but the thing that's confusing is that the calls... bought it in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said acting master distiller, the father. Yeah. Handed it down to his son, and then it said that they started doing their own barrels of stuff in 2016. And then 2020 came and Barstown bought them. Yeah. So
I would think it's just business as usual and they're making it there. It's just different owner.
But a lot of people said
Barstown
that
Barstown Distillery isn't... They don't make... It's not like Buffalo Trace or...
Oh, no.
Heaven.
It's going to be...
they might make a ton, right? Even though they have a ton of rickhouses.
Yeah, I would say they probably make a ton, but yeah, it's not compared to, you know, the Jim Beam.
Not the big guys. Jim Beam, yeah.
And Buffalo Trace's other world.
Right.
But they might be pretty close. I don't know. They are growing out there. The one thing that got me is...
to keep this in the back of my mind next time we go down there.
Oh, yeah, Green River. Green River. Yeah, for sure. This won't be the only time that I would have them as my low end, for sure.
Oh, yeah, because there are other...
Yeah, two products.
Yeah.
And I think that single barrel that I got, the barrel proof one, was like... 50 to 60? It wasn't nothing crazy. Yeah, so...
This is another, really good.
Another option when you can't find the Buffalo Traces. It's like...
You're looking around for...
Depending on your area. But here in Milwaukee or the Wisconsin area, you can get Green River, so...
And worth the price.
Yeah, worth the price. And to Dylan's point... No, it's not exactly going to be like Buffalo Trace, but I don't think you're going to have the fear of missing out when you could get this. Even though they're not drastically different, but there is a difference, like you were saying.
I like that dryness. I really like that dryness. It reminds me of J. Henry. Dry finish, and it's got that good balance of there's a little sweetness at the beginning, but it disappears.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
Green River Barstown Bourbon Company. Might be the perfect marriage. I don't know.
Now,
I'm making some good stuff.
My high end.
Your high end.
I poured them. It's cask strength. I mentioned this in our Whiskey of the Year episode as kind of like runner-up. This was one of my runners-up.
Or honorable mention or something?
No, it was a runner-up.
That was a runner-up.
Well, I just had... Yeah. Tobermory, 9-year cask strength. And you can see where the bottle is. It's about half full, a little less.
Do I have a Tobermory? Yeah, I do have a Tobermory, I think.
I've been enjoying this immensely. And that's why I said this is one of my runners-up. It's just so good.
Because they're in the Isle of Mull, right?
Isle of Mull. Which is... Let me go over to the map.
Somewhere over there. The Isle of Mull.
Isla, right?
Yeah.
Isle of Mull. Right above it. Straight up. About 100 miles.
So that's, for the listeners out there, M-U-L-L. Mull.
And I believe Isle of Mull, this is the only distillery on the Isle of Mull, which is Tobermory. They also make Lejeune.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying, that I had them before because of Lejeune.
And let's see. This is by Small Batch Whiskey Collection. So it's an independent bottler.
Oh, okay.
And I was just looking up the price of this. Maybe I should just save the price till later, but I don't know if it matters. I found it as low as 90 and as high as about 155-ish price range. Which for a 9-year scotch, even though it's cask strength, is still a little on the steep side.
Yeah, especially when you're
talking about 155. Yeah. Yeah. 155, that's a little steep. But it is at 65.5%. So,
oh, my neck of the woods.
131 proof.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your neck of the woods.
Yep.
Let me get a whiff of this nose.
Yeah, so this thing, you gotta add some water. It takes a lot of water, so don't be shy with water, because you're not going to drown this thing.
Man, I'm not getting anything from this nose.
Yeah, we went from a bourbon to a delicate scotch. Well,
hey, I'm getting some biscuits.
Getting that malt, yeah. I'm getting that malt.
Butter biscuits.
Yeah, butter. This is definitely opened up.
Man.
We're drinking this at the right spot. Half full. Creamy. Buttery.
Any more information out there for the people, Dill?
Well, other than Tobermory, the distillery is, if you haven't had it, don't know anything about it, they're definitely one to grab a bottle of Tobermory 10. It's, should we pause it?
No, I'll be right back.
Okay.
Just give me a second. Gotta grab something.
Yeah. One of the coolest bottle designs I've seen in Scotch. Tobermory and Lejeune, LEDAIG. It's just handsome. Just drop dead handsome. I think, if not the best Scotch bottle and design I've ever seen. Beautiful. Lejeune 18, perfect. And I think we've talked about it before, Lejeune 18.
Oh, yeah.
At least we haven't reviewed it.
Not yet.
But
that's the one I have, right?
We've talked about it somewhere.
We did a review outside. It was like a...
Oh, it was an outdoor...
Outdoor cork pop? Review, yeah.
Cork pop.
First cork pop. Because you got the 19, and then I had the 18, and you have the 18, you're like, you got the best one.
Yep, they were on the shelf next to each other, 18 and the 19. And we're like, well, you buy one, I'll buy the other, and we'll compare. And Tobermory's kind of went through a period where they weren't making the greatest whiskey.
That's why we're surprised that we saw those.
Yeah. But they've recovered, and now they're making nothing but excellent stuff. And this is an example. That 18 is an example. But the 19 was from the 90s, which... like 1997, I think it was distilled.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, and not the same.
It was good, though.
It was good, but it was real sulfury and just not nearly as good as that 18.
Yeah, I'm still getting butter biscuits.
Yeah. Pure malt. On the nose. Yeah, that high proof. This is a case where high proof isn't just high proof. It's more flavor. This is dense flavor. Now, I've had this before, so I'm just going to go straight for the water.
I'm getting like... like the fruit cocktail syrup from the can.
Yeah.
No, you have the pineapples, the pears, a little bit of the cherries and the grapes in there, and then whatever syrup or the syrup that is in that can. That's what I'm getting. But a fresh version of that, not the cheap can stuff, but
high fructose corn syrup.
Yeah, like but if you were cutting fresh fruit, put some like sugar in there, mix it up, and whatever the juice is left from that bowl, from the watermelon or pineapple, what have you. That's what I'm getting. And man, for 131 proof, I am not getting a ounce of heat.
No.
From the nose and from the palate.
Right. But you put 2 tablespoons of water in, and it still holds up. It's full flavored as can be.
Man, scotch is so weird for me. Like, in a good way. Like, from the first time I smelled the nose, I'm like, okay, not really getting anything. Then I started to smell the butter biscuits. And I couldn't get enough of the nose. And then after having this palate, I was like, man. And back to my complaint again with scotch. Can we do more than 80 proof and an average of 92 for some of these releases? Now I get,
they got to
turn it up a little bit.
For the most part, the distilleries in Scotland have read the memo on that one. Ireland, no, not so much. Pretty much,
after you get from
most of Ireland,
Redbreast, Castron, that's about it. I don't know any other high proof ones.
You're not going to get it out of Ireland. But any distillery in Scotland that's producing quality scotches, single malts, they're 46% as a rule of thumb.
Yeah. Which some of them are not bad, but.
Are you saying 46% isn't enough? He wants cask strength.
Oh, yeah, I want cask strength all the time with scotch.
I see. Maybe I misheard.
That, to me, brings out the beauty and the full flavor of scotch.
This is a perfect example.
But there's times, like you were just talking about Lejeune, I don't think that's really high proof.
No.
That's just a crazy caramel, intense. Vanilla, smoke bomb.
Yeah.
Like,
it's got it all.
But imagine if that was
cash. That proof.
Imagine if that was cash rent, though.
Yeah. I would think you would get less of an experience
Maybe.
Because of, it's just at the right place at 46%. With something big and beefy like that.
I had it.
Now I'm getting a little more fresh fruits coming through. Yeah. When I've added two tablespoons.
Sometimes with these fruity scotches.
Yeah, fresh fruit.
They're only my favorite if the ABV is up. I can't have a fruity scotch at 80 proof or whatever. It's just like, man, this is like drinking water, man. Come on. What are we doing here?
That's not right. Ah, yeah, I just love this nose. Love it. I like there's a brininess. There's maritime notes to it, too. Mm-hmm. It's robust.
Yeah, it's robust.
It's not like when I say a fruity scotch, you think of...
Yeah.
Speyside or Highlands.
This is on another level.
Where, like, Orchard, you know, that Orchard bottle I have is just a fruit basket. This is robust. Salty. I love it. 2 tablespoons and it's still, like, intense. Mm-hmm. I love that. Yeah. I think I paid, I want to say, $80-ish for this at Storied Company. It's just...
Good old Tobermory, man. I'm so glad that we got... Do you still have that 19 Lejeune?
Yeah. Yeah, that's not going anywhere. I'm going to be able to make that thing last 25 years. Just have a drop here, drop there, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in the search for another 18-year-old, though. If you see one, let me know, because that's the bottle to get.
I saw a 21 the other day.
Oh, really?
I'm on.
Was it a store pick? Or was it... No,
I think it was just a... No, it wasn't a store pick.
Super jealous if that was a store pick.
I think it was a 21.
How much?
I can't remember. I know it was high hundreds, which he prices everything pretty well. He knows what he has. Like the 18, I think I probably got about this much. Because I did... Yeah. I poured you some.
Yep.
Because I knew that I wasn't going to be going back to it all the time. But now, it's like, got to revisit it soon. Because that's probably been 2 years ago since we got those bottles.
That's on my list. Definitely on my list. It's so worth it.
We should try to make that a episode.
What?
A Tobermory episode. The 19 and the 18.
Okay.
Whenever the...
Comparing the two?
I mean, they've been open for 2 years and then...
The old guard versus the new guard?
Yeah. Let's try to come out with it.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that. See, you guys got the behind-the-scenes content?
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Look at them talking about their next episode or future.
Maybe somebody out there is like, I can't wait.
The one person. Nah, but this is great. I already have my score.
Am I right? I mean, this is the density.
And for 80 now, bucks, that's a steal.
How much water did you put in?
I put in 2 spoons.
And it's like
robust. Yep.
Is it watered down? No, not a bit.
Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah.
All right. So, $90 to $155 bucks that you seen this, and you got this for $80. And that's a steal.
80-something.
80-something. Yeah. 9-year cask strength.
I saw that Tobermory cask. I'm like, wow, Tobermory cask strength. And you never see that.
Yeah. Independent bottling. Man, I don't know what it is about me and independent bottling. I just don't understand it. But I don't know. It just confuses me because I was like, who gets paid here? Well, I guess everyone gets paid. It's just like, because they don't do the independent bottler. They don't do anything to the whiskey, correct? Or do they?
They do. Okay. So they can either just finish leave it in something? The barrel. Yep. They can leave it in the barrel, put it in their warehouse, and turn a 4-year-old barrel into a 9-year-old barrel.
9-year or whatever. Gotcha, gotcha. Well, now that's starting to make sense now.
Or they can go, I don't like this. Let's turn it into a 15-year.
Mm.
See what happens. Yeah. Or they can go, I got some great sherry casks in the other day. Let's put this. Mm-hmm. Let's finish this one in a sherry cask, and we'll just create a special release for that.
Yeah, there's a, I think I mentioned them before, Lost Lantern. They're an independent bottling company.
Okay.
And they do all their stuff
Is their name just Lost with a small lantern?
Yeah, something like that.
Because all you see is on the cover is Lost.
And I think Lantern might be on there. I can't remember. But anyway.
Are you talking about scotch or bourbon?
They do everything. Okay. Well, they don't do scotch, but they do single malt.
I'm thinking of some other company. Yeah.
So this independent bottling company, they focus on all the popular craft distilleries like Cedar Ridge, Starlight, McCarthy's.
That's cool.
What's the place in Seattle? West?
Westland?
Yeah, Westland, stuff like that.
Huh.
So I'm intrigued.
Are they the one who came out with... No, that was the Distiller's Edition. McCarthy's... Those high proof...
Yeah, that came from straight from McCarthy's.
Yeah, that was straight from them. Okay.
Yeah. Wish we had to review those too, because those are... What did you think about those? Yeah, that last week. They were good. Spot. They were good.
Yeah, McCarthy's is so special. Yeah. Just keep on going, McCarthy. Just keep on trucking. Mm-hmm. You're doing it right.
So, sorry that we got off on a tangent. Yeah. But my score for this, $80?
Yeah.
I'm going to give this a solid 88.
That's what I was going to give it. Because the Tobermory, to me... is a solid 86.
Which one?
Tobermory 10.
Mm-hmm.
That I as I remember it, it's a solid 86. And this is this is a case where more is definitely more. I mean, it's just great.
Yep.
With water, without, it's
can't be.
It's can't beat dense. It.
Especially for $80.
It's robust and unpeated. And the layers. You know,
yeah, I wish it did have a little bit of peat in it, though. I'd be head over heels with it.
But I got to have the pure form. This kind of stuff right here is pure, man. I mean, yeah, you can finish it too with like sherry casks and. It would be even more, but you'd always wonder, what is the bare bones version of this? This is it.
Exactly.
All right. Tobermory. Solid 88. All around.
Yeah.
Great.
Good episode at all around.
Yeah.
Green River, got to learn about that a little bit. Sorry that I have to look up the information. I didn't look at it beforehand. But I was like, oh, man, let me see while we're recording to see how long this place existed, because there are a lot of people that said that, yeah, we had Green River before Barstown and their stuff wasn't that great. And I'm like, I didn't even hear about them until Barstown bought them. So now we know. And they got something new with the independent bottler. I don't have anything from an independent. So I'm going to have to. Maybe buy a Lost Lantern one of these days.
Seeing what they're doing, because...
Get a Starlight and a Cedar Ridge one or something.
There's a reason why they exist. It's to give a different version of a product you know and love, you know?
Exactly.
They're like, oh, this is what we come out with. We don't have time to do customization stuff. You know, we just put out our products that are great... But these independent bottlers can do whatever they want.
Yeah. Man, I'm telling you, whiskey is a beautiful thing. People are talking about the bubble's gonna burst, which I think it is, but I think whiskey will still be relevant. But as far as people thinking that the bubble of bourbon's gonna burst, is because of the highly sought after stuff that you can't find. When you do find it, price out of the you know what.
Here's another take.
It's
too.
Just like it's getting kind of fatigue-ish for me so far.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You are a perfect example of the person who's pulling back. I'm gonna slow it down. In fact, you're like, I'm done. Fine. Yeah. But you're not. We know you're not.
No, I'm not done, but for now, I am.
Yeah.
I just right. got too much stuff.
Compared
and
to what you did a year ago, you're pretty much...
And most of it is just like FOMO. I had a streak. A good...
Yeah.
A great streak from 2019 till... I don't know, up to 2023 of just getting allocated stuff.
Right.
And then I preach on this podcast about, oh, you don't need the allocated stuff. And then next episode, ha-pow! Purple yeah. top! Here yeah. you go! In your face!
Yep.
And now it's like, man, you know what? I will love to get the allocated stuff, don't get me wrong. At MSRP price. Or just a little above MSRP, not too far into secondary. But that after a while, it just gets overwhelming. You have the fear of missing out, which I have at times. Mm-hmm. But now I got to the point and I talked to myself, and my wife has probably helped me with this too.
Yeah,
like,
you can't,
you're going to have to take an L. You can't get everything. It's yeah. just going to be
yeah.
impossible to get everything. But my mind tells me that I can. But I know I can't. My heart knows that I can't.
Yeah.
But my mind is telling me yes.
Right.
But my heart is telling me no. And it's just like, okay, well, how much more whiskey do you need? Me and
right.
Dill have not even scratched the surface of the stuff that we have had when we started this podcast.
Yeah.
And we haven't reviewed it yet.
Right.
Look, I just...
We're in no hurry.
The episode hasn't even came out yet of A Starlight. It's coming, it's coming soon, but we just recorded not too long ago. This podcast has been going on for what? Almost 2 years?
Over 2 years.
Yeah, over 2 years. And as much as we talked about Starlight, now one episode. Right. So it's like, man, just be happy with the whiskey that you have. If you're one of those guys that wants a Buffalo Trace and you're perfectly fine with that and you want to splurge on an Eagle Rare 10 or a Blanton's, be happy with it. I mean, there's a lot of good stuff on the shelf too, but the prices are just
but getting kind of crazy. Happening. Everybody got into the whiskey craze and went crazy.
Yeah.
And just started a little collection, you know, and buying a bunch of stuff when they never would have done that in the past.
Yeah.
But and after so much time, you're like, yeah. All right, I'm over it. I have my collection here.
And it was a fun experience when I was in Virginia with my friends about bourbon. We, a group of us getting together, sharing bottles, going to releases. Now... in Virginia had these lotteries. I mean, you could camp out, you could share bottles in the parking lot, camp overnight, people are grilling outside in the parking lot, this and that and that. Now you got people traveling across other states in your territory. It's just not the same because everybody knows it's a trend. And they could be people that don't even like bourbon, but they know that it's a trend, so they're like, hey, this is what I'm supposed to do. It's a cool thing now, guys.
Yeah, oh, can I go?
Yeah, what's your favorite bourbon?
Yeah.
Most of them are going to say all the Buffalo Trace stuff.
Right.
Well, I like Buffalo Trace. Oh, okay, that's what you're going to stand in line for? No, I'm kind of thinking about, what's that one with the E and the H? Age Taylor? yeah, I want one of those. Or I'd just be happy with the Blanton's. It's like most of the people that are in the crave are like these crazy Buffalo Trace.
Yeah.
they're like Buffalo Trace is like the Taylor Swift of distilleries. Like everybody. Oh my god. Buffalo Trace Eagle Rare 10. Which they are fine products, but when those lotteries come out, you have so many other whiskeys that's in that lottery, but most of those people, or half of the people, are waiting in line for a Blanton's.
Well,
which is nothing wrong with it, but the thing that kills me...
about 85%.
But the thing that kills me about it is nothing wrong with one in Blanton's. It's a great bottle, especially when you get it for $60. I would buy it every single day.
Yeah.
But the thing is, as much as we hype Buffalo Trace up on this podcast, which they deserve it, but they're playing with us. All that stuff should be available in the daggone store. Yeah. Except for those BTAC collections. The BTAC collections should be in every lottery or every special, at least a case a year for a liquor store that sells good Buffalo Trace products. Like, hey, this store gets a 12 pack or a six pack of George T. Stagg and Raise or something. You can post it on Instagram.
Whenever like first, we feel
yeah,
like
first
it.
Comes first come serve or something.
Yeah, right.
Other than this one bottle junk, and now they're doing Blanton's in a, you know, raffles and all this stuff. Like all this stuff could be on the shelf. I mean, you see how big that distillery is.
Yeah,
I mean, it just plays tricks with you because
we know, and we know the truth.
Yeah.
Like it's not that rare.
And everything about region. And everything about regions. Like, yeah. Wisconsin, I think, should be a state that should just have Weller Green Label on the shelf. You can go to Illinois and they have a ton of them on the shelf, but they know that it's Buffalo Trace, so they're gonna put $60 on it when it's a $20 whiskey. Go to Texas, they got a slew of Weller for MSRP. It's just like, what is the distribution thing here, and why are you guys cranking a bunch of grain reserve Wellers to Texas, but little distribution to Wisconsin or Illinois, and then they just hike up the price like, oh my gosh, a Weller?
Yeah. That's why in a couple of years, I wouldn't be surprised to see Blanton's on the shelf.
Yeah.
Buffalo Trace on the shelf. Eagle Rare on the shelf.
A lot of people are suspecting that.
I mean, they.
They're downsizing. Some of these distillers are downsizing now because they thought that they're going to crank out a lot and then not many people are buying as much. I mean, we're kind of in a. I would say it's a recession still, kind of. It's like everything's getting expensive. Like, think about gas prices.
Yeah.
It's like... So,
well,
it's
not
crazy
for the Scotch people.
Scotch
people, slow and steady wins the race. And
every time.
That Scotch market is secure.
And you could get...
You got your fans who are just, I'll buy a bottle of this, I'll buy a... They're not crazy. They're not standing in line to get the latest release of this or that. No.
Like that Highland
Park. It's just there, and we buy it.
That Highland Park Cash Strength 4 that you tasted at my place?
Yeah.
That's comparable in a Scotch world to like a Stag Junior or something.
Right.
But it's on the shelf.
Right. Yep.
It's just, it's crazy like that. But sorry to go off on that tangent, but the reason why I was saying that is a beauty because every state has a craft distillery just about in the whiskey game, and they all do things different. There's a guy, I think it's in Alabama. I can't even remember the name of the distillery, but I saw on a whiskey tuber's page. His name is Bruzel, which I love him a lot. Shout out to Bruzel. But he went out in the woods somewhere. I mean, this guy has a nice setup, but he only distills whiskey, obviously, and he might do some other things, but no distribution, no nothing. The only way he sells it, if you go there and pick the barrel. So he makes his money from people doing picks. That's not even cool. Distribution. Isn't that the coolest
That's thing? The coolest.
Yeah. So he has like a couple of warehouses out on his property and all that stuff. And I can't remember the name of it. All right, maybe later tonight we watch the video because it's like the coolest thing. I'm like, what?
How'd you hear about it?
The guy, whiskey tuber.
Talked about it.
Okay. Yeah. He went out there to visit.
Ah, that's great.
So I know that.
Wonder how he heard about it because it sounds so exclusive.
Bruzel is the man. A guy from Alabama, and he's great. One of the best whiskey contenders out there. But there you have it. There's our episode. Like I said, don't stop buying Buffalo Trace. I just know Buffalo Trace is... All those distilleries are playing games with us. Like, man, we should be saying Buffalo Trace and Eagle Rare and at Blanton's, at least. 24/7 in the store.
And I never crave Blanton's. I never think about Blanton's. I have a bottle here that's open, and I have one that's not opened.
Yeah.
And I never even think about it until you mention it. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I bring it up.
Now, there's some single barrels.
We have one.
There's some single barrels that are pretty whatever. Good. There's some single barrels out there that are really good, though.
I'm sure. Yeah, I think that's where it's at. Single barrel Blanton's is probably another level. Of great,
which they all are single barrels, but I guess it depends on which one you get. Even the ones that you have are single barrels.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're all single
barrels.
Yep, just like
That's right. They did explain. They showed us the whole process. The barrel comes up, it dumps in, and they bottle them all up.
It just all depends on each single barrel is different. So,
but what's the difference between a single barrel and a Blanton's? They get to a point, they taste it and go, this needs to be a single barrel.
No.
Stated single barrel instead of a
processed. A regular product,
Yeah, regular product.
Yeah, every Blanton's that's released in a store. I mean, you could do a store pick of Blanton's, which I never seen one in person ever. But they're all single barrels. Mm-hmm. Each and every Blanton's that the ones you have, the ones I have, they're all single barrels. So, we'll see. We'll see. But that's our episode. Right. And
we'll catch you in another week.
Yeah, buy Green River and buy Tobermory Independent Bottling if you can see it.
I know. I already talked about the 10. Buy it. But this one, the 9 cask strength, that is.
Now, before you turn it off,
worth $80.
He got it for worth $80.
Yeah, if you can see it for 80 some 90-ish, totally worth it.
Not 155.
No.